My Dream, Your Nightmare, Again in the Dark Remix, by Navon, read by CookieMom6067. There's the strangest repetition in how his life is developing. He's with Steve, again. It's easy and uneasy, again. Steve is young, or younger, his appropriate age, again. And they are here on good terms and in love, again. This time they're not on the same team, and they're not seeing much of each other. Tony's hearing many things about Sharon and Steve, too, and he doesn't mind. People know what they see, and they see them together more often than they see Captain America stand by Iron Man these days. At least the world knows that they're getting along. There have been pictures of handshakes and claps on the back, and he knows there's even one where they are smiling at each other because the Bugle ran it with a particularly unfavorable headline. But none of that matters when they're back together, Tony thinks, in all the ways that matter. There's nothing that he wants more than sleep a little longer, wrapped in Steve's strong embrace. His body is still burning from their rather rough lovemaking from before. He's sure that he'll find the traces of Steve's fingerprints on his hips in the morning. And he shouldn't like that idea as much as he does. Silently smiling, he turns around in bed, careful not to wake Steve, but he nearly rolls too far onto the other side of the mattress into the empty space that Steve has left behind. Steve, he calls out, voice rough with sleep. But there's no immediate response. He opens his eyes and finds he's alone in his bed that now seems too large and empty. That Steve would leave without a word isn't unusual. Steve has a way of being considerate, of wanting Tony to get his rest when he can get it, because he knows how often Tony spends his nights working, tinkering, or working in other ways, and how often the world simply burns, and any Avenger has to fight until they're dead on their feet. Still, his heart jumps uncomfortably in his chest. It brings up memories of the past, the recent past, when Tony had been the one to sneak out silently more often than not, to look at new data, to make plans for how to get to a new incursion event before Steve would even know. It reminds him of those times when things had become fragile and dangerous between them because Tony had kept too many secrets. Steve, he whispers again, and doesn't want it to sound as desperate as it comes out. Surely Steve's just out to do what he has to do as the leader of his own Special Avengers team. He glances over at the clock and finds it's not too early for Steve to be awake. Steve has a habit of going for a run before the rest of the world is up. He might just be out getting some exercise, and Tony will find him later getting his first brew of coffee downstairs in the kitchen. It's a sliver of hope that Tony doesn't dare hold on to. He doesn't want to be needy. More than anything, he feels that he has no right to be. He tries to throw back the covers and sit up, but he's stopped by Steve's voice coming from the relative darkness. Don't worry, Tony. Just go back to sleep. I'll climb back in soon. Tony sits up to look. Steve's standing by the window that's overlooking the city. He's half-dressed, as if he'd been about to go, but had decided not to. His arms are folded in front of his chest, and he's holding a communicator. Something up? Tony asks, unease settling in his mind. It's eerie, he thinks, when he looks at Steve's face. Eerie how much his calm face reminds Tony of the look Steve had given him when his memory had slowly come back to him. Memory of the Illuminati's, of Tony's great betrayal. I haven't done anything to lose him again, Tony thinks, a little frantic, and gets out of bed to slide his arms around Steve's waist from behind. Don't worry, Tony. If there was something up, I'd let you know. But this is nothing to worry about, Steve says, and stroked his fingers. Are you sure? Steve smiled, with a slight edge to it that only worries Tony more. I can ride you until you fall back asleep, Steve suggests, and that is tempting. More forward than he expects Steve to be, usually. You're tempted, Steve guesses, and grins with that same edge. Yes, Tony says. You're trying to distract me. I'm just thinking you need to sleep more, he says. You have a way of missing too many hours of shut time if nobody watches over you. I can tire you out some more. Steve turns in his embrace, touches his jaw to make him look up, and kisses him hard. It stirs the usual hunger in him, the need to be close, to be touched, to be connected. Please, he whispers. Of course, Steve responds, and his hands are already rubbing along the edge of Tony's boxers. I know what you need, Tony. Let me give it to you. It's an offer, a pledge. And Tony doesn't protest when Steve pushes him the few steps back towards the bed and makes him sit and fall back when he climbs over him to cover Tony's body with his own. The kissing is too good, too honest and hot for Tony to hold on to the unease and insecurities that keep haunting him. Steve doesn't even need to prepare him much this time. Tony's still loose and open from their previous lovemaking. He still takes a moment to thrust a finger in, then two. Tony mules, begging without words, thrusts his hips more, and he's rewarded when Steve lines up his cock and starts into a desperate rhythm. It's so easy to feel like one when Steve's inside him like this. It's easy to forget all the things that once stood between them, the world from before everything broke and was remade, when Steve hated him because he had once loved and trusted him too much. He's lost in the haze of lust when Steve whispers, Tony, do you love me? Of course, he says, opening his eyes to look up Steve's, who is watching him intently before thrusting into him again. He throws his head back and cries out in pleasure, do you trust me, Tony? Yes, of course, he nearly shouts, full of heat and conviction. Then would you do me a favor? Anything. Anything, always for Steve, he thinks, while he comes undone under Steve's controlled thrusts. When the time comes, and it'll come, I want it to be you. Please don't let it be anyone else. You'll want to, I know it, but for a very different reason. It needs to be you who catches up to me. Steve, please, please, I'll do anything for you. Absolutely anything. I know, Steve says, and smiles before kissing him hard. They move together, and Steve pushes him over the edge shortly after, comes inside him only a few thrusts later. Tony drifts off again, nearly immediately, Steve's strong fingers massaging his scalp. I shouldn't need this, Steve whispers. But you're the one who was always the most dangerous to me, Tony. Even in half-sleep, Tony feels like he's disappointed Steve again. Betrayed him. I want to see your face when you find out, he whispers, and wraps Tony in his arms. He wants to open his eyes and ask what Steve's talking about. He finds he's too bone-dead tired and his mind is hazy. There's a slight rustling and he thinks he sees the shape of a woman in a room that shouldn't be there. She bears the markings of green and gold and... Hail Hydra, Steve whispers. Can you take the memory away? I hinted at too much. I don't see the fascination, she says. But some things are to be loved in secret between the shadow and the soul. He won't remember, my dear, the woman says and smiles. He'll trust you as always when he wakes up. And Tony falls into the void of sleep. Sure, he's seen a dream, the sliver of a nightmare, when Steve grins down at him, his blue eyes seeming green and reflecting the insignia of Hydra back at him. The end.